you remember that band from the 60s, Rare Earth? I believe they came on the scene in 1969. Their classic hit is Get Ready. Get ready, get ready. Remember that song? Well, you know, I always like these old hits, and I go on YouTube. This is what I do in my spare time. This is my recreation, see? And I noticed that, they're still out there. They're still touring. So I looked for a recording of Get Ready, like from 2001 or 2002, and I thought, oh, that's awesome. Come to find out, it's not the original band members. So who cares that it's Rare Earth? I want to see the guys who recorded the hit. What's the purpose? I don't get it. It's like somebody announcing that the Beatles are going to reunite and go back on tour. Oh, wow, yeah, that's great. Yeah, only instead of John, Paul, George, and Ringo, it's going to be Ralph, Scott, Harold, and Ziggy. I don't care about Ralph, Scott, Harold, and Ziggy. It doesn't matter if you call it the Beatles. It's not the Beatles. Rare Earth is not Rare Earth unless you have the original members. Okay, my rant is over, and now to the scriptures. Now, I want to emphasize something I left you with yesterday, and that God actually does you a favor when he keeps you on the edge. This is a daily thing. And again, this is reflected in life with exercise, with even brushing your teeth. You can't brush your teeth once a month and say, there, I brushed my teeth. What's the problem? You have to keep up with it. It doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter if you brush them really well once a month. I brushed my teeth. This reminds me of when I started school. They told me back, you know, when I started first grade, you have to go to school. What? Okay, I'll go to school. And so I went to school on a Monday. The bus brought me back. I said, all right, that's over with. Then they told me, no, you have to go back tomorrow. So what? I already went. No, you have to go back tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, creeping in this petty pace to the last syllable of recorded time. I had to go for 12 years. Could not believe it. I went to school. No, you have to keep going. So this thing with Israel and with us, you have to keep going. I would rather do a little bit every day than... Yes, this is the opposite of Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway said when he was writing that he would rather go in a great flurry of words, produce a lot, and then take time off. Have a long period of rest and, you might say, non-production. And then have to sharpen the writing skills again, because use it or lose it. Hey, that's a great phrase for this whole lesson. Use it or lose it. And Israel, for 2,000 years, has lost it. So Hem thought that he'd rather sharpen the tools again. Me, I'd rather chisel away every day than to try to get that big ball rolling again. Talk about getting the big ball rolling again. How about the, you know, how about God snatching away the body of Christ and starting up again with Israel? Talk about getting the big ball rolling for Israel. And their advice from Paul in Hebrews is to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Use it or lose it. Same principle. That's the principle, I think, that's behind that particular exhortation, is to do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. Paul would have told Ernest Hemingway, do not forsake your literary labors. Take time off and smoke cigars and flay fish down in Key West. No, keep writing. Do a little bit every day. Write 500 or 600 words. Keep those tools sharp and keep producing literature. So that way your daily sustenance, give us this day our daily bread, daily bread. And again, the great lesson in the wilderness, when if Israel hoarded food in the wilderness after God miraculously provided the manna, miraculously provided the quail and the water, it was just for the day. And they were told on the day before the Sabbath, take one extra day, right? So you have food for the Sabbath. But Israel being Israel, they wanted to stockpile it. They wanted to make sure that they had enough to last them for the rest of the month. Well, that food went rotten because God cursed it. And people today, I'm telling you, People kill themselves. Some of you are doing this. You work like insane people so that someday you can stop working completely and live off the fat of your savings, the fat of your 401c3, 51k, or whatever the hell they call that, and think that it's going to be glorious. Well, don't do it. I think it's a vast deception. So many people have quit work and they end up dying because they don't have a reason to live. People need purpose in life, so you have to do something. I've known people who have quit careers that they basically don't like, and they end up, you know, bagging groceries, which in fact they like. I mean, they do it on purpose because they don't want to live a life without purpose. And people need their groceries put into bags. Imagine trying to carry your milk in this hand, your grapes in this hand, your mustard in this hand, your dates here, your refried beans perched on your head. A bag is necessary. And those people who put the groceries in the bags are providing a great service. So don't have this retirement mindset. It's the same when you're traveling. Don't have this mindset that I got to get there. I want to get there. No, you have to go one day at a time. Enjoy the journey. I literally stop and smell the flowers here in South Florida because, for one thing, there are flowers, which is quite unusual for me, being from Ohio. The flowers probably aren't even out yet. It's middle of May in Ohio, end of May. So stop and smell the flowers. I do this with running. Can I share an anecdote with you? I think this is going to help you. When I run, sometimes it's very hot, and sometimes I'm tired. I have an 8-mile route, I have a 4-mile route, I have an 11-mile route, which will soon be expanded, by the grace of God, to a 15-mile route. But I try not to think of the terminus. I try not to think that only 5 more miles, only 4 more miles, I think of going through the terminus. I don't think like I have to get to this end point. I think, do I have enough energy and enthusiasm and stamina that I could go through the end point if I needed to? So that's what I think. And so that forces me then to dial it back, to embrace the moment, even if the moment isn't necessarily pleasant, and to even stop and smell the flowers or smell the salty sweat coursing past my eyes, my nose, into my mouth. Salty sweat. Well, salt and moisture are life. So I appreciate these things. And we, after I have told you about James Flanders, that has really helped me to appreciate things in my daily life that's so easy to take for granted, you know, things like paper towels and this glass globe sitting on my desk. I really appreciate this where I didn't before. It has frozen bubbles in here. Seems like some kind of miracle. Maybe it's like a crystal ball that I can stare into. Call upon Auntie M. Auntie M, Auntie M. She appears. So on to the scripture. I'm getting tired of the Song of Moses, by the way, and I trust you are too. At least I hope you are. I'd be disappointed in you if you weren't tired in some way of the Law of Moses, which the Song of Moses, I keep calling it the Law of Moses. Do I call it the Law of Moses occasionally? All right. We're in the Song of Moses. So I know we tend to get tired of this Israel stuff, and we do tend to get tired of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Oh, a friend of mine just wrote, Matthew Holland, and he had this great idea, great thought, which I've had about the end times and when they're going to happen, when this kingdom is going to come, when this, all these things that have been hinted at in the Song of Moses will be fulfilled, when these bowls will finally finish. You know that I'm fond of the 6,000-year theory. I call it a theory because we have no direct evidence of it in Scripture, that humanity is given 6,000 years. I'm not saying that the earth is 6,000 years old. The earth could be thousands and thousands, maybe even millions of years old. Don't know. There was a disruption of the first earth. This is what theology, general theology doesn't account for. So, but there have only been 6,000 years of humanity on the earth. Evolution, in case you don't believe in evolution, right? No. Where's the missing link? Species don't jump species. Anyway, there have been 6,000 years of humanity, which is perfect because we know that there's a 1,000-year period of finally the world coming into a rest period, a period of great blessing, a sabbatical millennia of 1,000 years. And that's number 7, the 7th millennia from Adam. How perfect is that? God worked for 6 days creating everything that we see on this present earth. That's nothing to do with the first earth. That was way before the earth that Adam came to live on. The second earth was prepared for Adam and for us. That's the earth we're on now. There will be a third earth. I know I'm jumping all over the place. Stay with me. So, God works in 1,000-year increments. So, if this is the case, and I believe it is, then there we will find 6,000 years from Adam until the inauguration of the 1,000-year kingdom, which is the beginning of the 7,000-year period, which 7 being the number of perfección, or as they say in Spain and Mexico and Peru and all other Spanish-speaking, perfecto, Spanish-speaking nations, perfecto. I don't know what they say in China, possibly, oh, yeah. That would mean that at the end of the 1,000 years, then the new heavens and new earth begins on year 8,000, 8 being the number of a new beginning. New beginning, new heavens, new earth. How perfect is that? So my friend, Matthew Holland, from somewhere in, where is he, Matthew Holland? Is he in Holland? No. He's somewhere in the place where they wear wooden shoes, I think. Someplace up there with the windmills and the tulips. I think. I could be wrong. Anyway, Genesis 6:3, I believe it is. There's a verse that God will not, I will not strain forever with humanity, God says. I will not fuss with you people forever and ever. And we're like, thank you. I don't blame you. We are pains in the ass. But he says, your years will be 120 years. And my friend Matthew tied in that 120 years allotted to humanity. Of course, we've screwed that up. We don't live for 120 years anymore. Thank God. But he ties us in with the Jubilee. Every 50 years in Israel, there was a Jubilee. When the slaves were set free, property returned to its owner, everything came back to you. And this also pictures Israel's time of Jubilee, when the ultimate Jubilee will occur at the inauguration of the kingdom. So if you take 120 years and multiply it times 50, you get 6,000, I think. You better get 6,000. 0, 0, 0, 0, 10, carry the 1. Yes, 6,000. So the 6,000 years is for man. I won't strive with man forever, God says. I'm going to give him 120 years. Good enough. You get rid of us. We get delivered from living in a wicked eon that you invented, God. And it also becomes, when multiplied by 50, which is the year of the Jubilee, another 6,000-year period, in which God struggles with humanity on an epical level, on an aeonian level. Then, in the 1,000 years, he doesn't struggle with humanity anymore. He actually enjoys humanity. It's kind of like when you raise your kids, you know, you give it your best shot, you do everything for them, you suspend your own wants, needs, and desires in order to nurture these little weanlings, these little tots. You pat them on the head, send them to bed, read them stories, go to all their baseball games, go to the plays that they're in at the high school. And then when they're raised, your labors are over, and now you reap the fruit of what you have produced. And it's so wonderful. Speaking from experience, I love my sons. They love me. I have a wonderful relationship with them now because I knew when to retire from parenthood. I did my job, escorted them into society, prepared. And so now we're I don't labor with them anymore. It's no more work. It's fun. God's going to say the same thing. Finally, it's fun. This is what God's going to say. Finally, I get to have fun with you people. I strained and strove with you for 6,000 years. Finally, the fun starts. Let's have a big party. I'll pour the wine. And the wine will be flowing like water. Water flows like wine now. Wine flows like water then. I think that's how it works. You might want to transpose that. I don't know, but it sounds good to me.